Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Under the sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line tonight my big sister, Sheila G. You on the line?
Yes, I am.
Praise God. Good to be back on the line.
Yeah.
We have Dr. G on the line.
Yes, sir. We're here.
Amen. It's good to be back on the line. I know we've been out for an extended period of time, but thank God that He has kept us and allowed us to be able to come back on one more time.
Amen.
So we're going to get started with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank You for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study Your word. Father, we pray that You would allow us to study to show ourselves approved unto You, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing Your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to Your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sheila G, Dr. G, we again are grateful to God to allow us to get back on Bible study. And I say that to be back on Bible study because a lot of times the things that we go through in life, we can deal with better because we know the Word of God, and that comes through studying the Word of God. And as I often prepare for Bible study or any type of ministry, I'll go back to the Word of God. And on Thursday nights, oftentimes go back and listen to the previous lesson. And going back to the previous lesson or the previous word helps to get through. Not only prepare you for that day, but helps you to get through just ordinary things that go on in life. And as I went back and listened to the lesson from, I think it was October 17th, we were on the line talking about Acts 7, and we had picked up on verse 9, and we had gone through verse 12, and in those verses, we were talking about Joseph and how Joseph had to go through some things, and that the reason why he was going through was that later on in his life, God needed him, or God gave him an assignment to be able to bless others. And all through that lesson that we had on chapter 7 and those verses, little did we know, Sheila G, that we were going to have to live those. And Dr. G, we were going to have to live the words we were talking about. And as I went back to listen, and I invite everybody, go back and listen. It's like everything that we were talking about with Joseph, we might as well have been putting our name in there.
Amen. Amen.
I was like, oh, my gosh. And the things that we were talking about with our mom, things we were talking about with the church, things we were talking about our individualized. That and there was a term that I used, Dr. G. It was when the crap hits the fan, or when the stuff hits the fan.
Yes, it did.
And that's literally, and sometimes it's literally happened more ways than one. But if you go back, and listen to that thing, it was like, wow, we were talking about this. And the church has gone through, we've gone through, you know, Pastor G and I have gone through. It's just been exactly what verses 9 through 12 were. And it was experience to know that just from rehearsing the word and getting the word in your life, when the stuff hit the fan, you were able to get through. So I guess the enemy said, okay, you guys are talking about this, like you know what you're talking about. I want to see you actually put it into practice. And you know, that was one of the things that at the end our question was, are we living a life so that people will know Jesus or see Jesus by how we live while we're going through some things? And you know, the lesson before that was, is God still with us? Is there still corn in Egypt, and is God still with us? And so those powerful lessons had to be lived out again with what we went through, and I'm sure other people have gone through also. But because we studied, because we read the word and lived the word, that's why we're still standing today, and we're able to, and a lot of times in that, Sheila G, you said drawing your past victories, and you know, we Dr. G said we had to go through to mature, and you know, I said when the stuff hits the fan, or we had to learn how to endure, and all those things came back around to us, and we actually had to put up or shut up.
Amen. And it's so true, because I too keep a document of all of our questions and our notes from our lessons, and the last one was, are we living lives so people can see Jesus in us? And then before that, with God still with you, and how do you know? And the one on the September 20th, has God ever taken you through things around for your own good, even though the enemy came against you?
Yep.
So it was like those three lessons together. It's like, even though the enemy's against us, and it was everything from the situation with my mom, having to deal with legal stuff, our bodies getting sick, it was just all in your head. Being in the Word of God was so helpful. You know, even there was a point where Pastor and I both got sick at the same time, and he came on Sunday. And then I got it the next day, but we still pressed through to the point that we were on prayer service, but we couldn't talk. Amen. But we were just, again, showing that commitment to the Lord. And, you know, then when you got sick, and then the situation with mom, the enemy
and with little Janice,
And Janice, too. You know, it was just like, boom, one thing after another, and even things with our brothers and stuff. But, we just kept talking, and I really loved our church because our church is such that we don't have to always have to have it all together. You know, I could literally was able to stand up in church and just let it out and say how frustrated I was and how I leaned on my brothers and asked the Lord to get me out of the way so I could follow what God wanted me to follow. And that is going in following according God's word to say that, yes, I'm human. Yes, I have weakness, but I'm going to share with you how I was ready to. The doctor said I'd cuss them out without cussing them out, but God. And look what God did because I moved me out of the way and asked God to give me the strength to share about how, even though I was unhappy, I still had the joy of the Lord, to share about the meeting that we had and shared with the congregation how, you know, the Lord just stepped in and just helped us through it. And here my is back at the nursing home. She's still doing fine. You know, past season me, because we didn't think she would be here right now, but she is here.
Right.
Resting comfortably like she's in a country club. But that was only because of her faithfulness, because we even talked about how it comes down to the generation. And that generation us, where we had to take that faithfulness. I'm sure you heard it, how we talked about how our parents passed that down to us. Passed that same faithfulness down to us, where we had to actually practice it because dad is gone and Ma wasn't there to be able an advocate for ourselves. But all of us, all five of us, came together with an aunt, and we just were sitting and talking about the goodness of God, even though Satan was continuously kicking our butt every which
day
way.
After day.
We worked with the kids, the family, but God. You know, Pastor's still coughing now, but he made it to church. We made it through. We were able to get encouragement from our church family, from others. That's how it's supposed to be. It's like you just pull on those godly type things, and it was nobody but the Lord. But yeah, when I look at what we've been through, and I just said yesterday on our prayer line that sometimes God is bragging on us. God is saying, you know, here we're having these powerful Bible study lessons, and I'm sure Satan's like, because everything's going so fine. Yeah, they're going to talk about the goodness of God, but let something happen. And God said, okay. And something happened continuously every But again, as God was bragging on us, we still continue to be faithful and trust in him and basically say, whatever your will is, Lord, let it be and let him guide us. And that is the power of knowing God's word. That's why it's important to pray without ceasing, even if you just know that one scripture or that one gospel song. You know,
right.
I kept saying, he's a miracle worker. He's a miracle worker. You know, and I would send texts out to you guys. Okay, I got a car. This song came on, y'all. And I know that that's nobody but the Lord. But you've got to put your focus on him, because if you put your focus on the craziness of this world and on the limited things of this world versus the limitless God, you will get the beat down and stay beat down. But we got to practice what we preach. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Dr. G?
I was sitting here thinking, and I agree with what both of you were saying. And that's one thing that, you know, I try to share with the church, is that I don't care how faithful you are. I don't care how much Jesus you got in you. I don't care how much you love the Lord. There are going to be times when you're going to be tested and you're going to be tried. Sheila was talking about the Lord bragging. I was just thinking about how when Satan came along and he was talking to Job, and the Lord said, well, have you considered my
servant?
Have you
considered?
You know, so he was bragging on Job. And, yes, we too have to go through our moments of sickness, distress, or whatever, but it all winds up with where our faith is. You know, none of us ever gave up on our faith. We continued to hold fast. And, yes, you know, we prayed for one another. We shared with one another. We laughed, coughed. We ran to the bathroom. But, you know, we did what we had to do. But it did not stop us looking upward or us being focused on just how good God is. And yes, with all the stuff that your mom has gone through, and I was teasing the show, I said, your mom is going to be here at least until Thanksgiving. And she didn't, but how can she live without eating? The Holy Spirit is feeding her. And, you know, that's nobody but God. And it takes sometimes for us to go through the test to help get our people to understand that, you know, they're not just talking a good game. They're living it.
Mm-hmm. Amen, amen, and that verse 11, which is now there came a dearth over all the land, and we were talking about that in chapter 7, verse 11, Acts 7, verse 11. That's when I said when the stuff hits the fan, and we prefaced that to saying that at some point in everyone's life there are going to be times where it hits the fan.
That's right.
When your faith comes in, and that's why you have to have a personal relationship with God to be able to know that He's true to His word, that He said He'll never leave you nor forsake you, and that's what we were saying in there, that you know we know that we go through things, and just because we are saved, God never promised that the road would be easy, but He always promised that He was going to be with us, and that we still can have a relationship with Him, even when there's a dearth in the land, even when the stuff hit the fan, even when your body, physically, mentally, you're stressed out or whatever you're going through, you still can know that God is there. And in that verse 11 says, now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. And we get to a point where we have to realize that God will allow you to go through tests, and we have to learn that, like you were saying, Sheila G, that our help and our sustenance comes from God. And
right.
So God wants us to test us to see, are you going to turn to me or are you going to keep turning to man? Because man will let you down. And so as we go through those tests in our lives, we have to say, hey, God is my strength. That's why you were saying, Sheila G, with that song, say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came to eat up me and eat up my flesh, they stumble and fell. And, you know, it's a thing where God is teaching us to lean and depend on them. And so once the stuff hits the fan, you gotta weather the storm. And that's one of the things that we were talking about on that last time we were together, is that sometimes a storm is a long time.
Yep.
Sometimes, and we were talking about Joseph, and he would go through long storms, and then it would be another thing, and it would be another thing. Sometimes the storms are long, and then not only are they long, but then another storm is not too far behind it. It comes to mature us. And so through those things, we can learn to be mature.
Right.
And there's a story that everyone has where you didn't know how you were going to make it, but somehow, you know, God brought you through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sheila G.
And that's part of why I always say, you know, when you're going through, to pull on your past victories. And I say that because, you know, when He brings through and you look back over your life and you see how God has brought you through, and you know that you're going to go through again, you just continue to grow. And when I say pull on your past victories, it's like, remember the good side of it. Remember the part of where you came out of it. Not so much to focus on the negativity, but focus on it was nasty, it was ugly, it was negative, but somehow, some way, I'm standing here today. I still have joy. So if He did it once, He can do it again. But I have have to believe it. And, you know, as we were going through this with Mom, you know, we just went through the whole situation with Dad 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was similar, but it was different because he didn't have the expensive. So we had to deal with doctors, same type of thing. But and it was rough then because he was stubborn in some ways. But it strengthened us and prepared us to be advocates for mom this time because she couldn't speak for herself. And so it would have been very frightening to have gone through it with her first versus with him and knowing how to do that. And that's how we had to kind of remind each other that, you know what, just like it was with Dad, this is what we have
to do.
To see him go through that, that strong man go through that. But looking at it now, it's a good thing we did because it gave us all the strength, all the knowledge, all the faith to recognize and step up and what we needed to do to help her because she was not going to be able to be an advocate for ourselves. So it is truly, truly important that we don't forget what God has brought us through and don't take those things for granted. Too often God brings Christians through something and we get to a place where we need to be and then we put them right back on the shelf. And that's just so disrespectful to the Lord because he's like, look, I didn't have to do it. I'm with you always because I love you. But then you're going to guilt me and disrespect me just because, okay, I got this now, Lord. I'll put you back on the shelf. But when I go through, I'm going to pull you back down. No, the only way you grow is once you go through is to make that continuous commitment to him that I'm going to get to know you better. I'm going to communicate with you more. I'm going to love up on you, Lord, just like you love up on me. I'm going to do what I need to do. Continuously feed my spirit. And by developing that strong relationship, now as you get closer to him, you know when you're in the storm. A lot of, you know, as we're young in our Christianity and our Christian growth, sometimes it'll blindside and we're like, okay, where'd this come from? I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. Why am I getting kicked in the butt? But now as you go closer to the Lord, he kind of gives you a sign that, okay, it's coming, so you're going to really need to lean on me. And if you have that constant communication with him, you can talk to him, and he can get you through those times where you're snotting and crying and wearing your knees out because he just strokes your head and lets you know, we got this. I got this. But you got to trust me. You got to trust me. And so we can't, once we get through the storm, stop studying. Stop praying. We need to do it more so that as we get through that storm, we have the confidence to do battle with the enemy.
Amen. Amen. And even in reviewing that lesson, I preached a sermon from James, Book of James on Sunday. And it just so happens that when we reviewed the lesson from October, that was one of the scriptures that I had quoted. So I was like, really? So even in preparing, we see the importance of like you said, drawing to God, and when you're talking about them and you're going through and you're preparing your studies, that those things will come out, and you don't even know why you're going through it, and that's one of the things, Dr. G, we were talking about is a lot of times while we're going through those things, we don't know. While we're going through, but as we get mature, we say, well, I'm going through for a reason. And the end, what man meant for my bad, God will turn around for good, or what took my misery and made it into my ministry. And in that verse 12, Acts chapter 7, verse 12, it says, but when Jacob heard that they was going to Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And so, When we hear about trouble in the land or problems in the land, what we have to do is we have to stay faithful, stay humble, and then when it gets to a point where we think there's nothing else we can do or we can't do anything, God will show up, and God will show up, and God will show you who He is and what He can do, and that's so powerful. Because he'll do it over and over again. And so, you know, just in this chapter where we're talking about Joseph and everyone in that land, everyone was troubled, everyone was down. And God had prepared 7 years ago. Wow. He had prepared 7 years ago and told him to store up this stuff because there would be 7 years of plenty. And then there will be 7 years of famine. And so people had forgotten that God had told Joseph to store up this grain 7 years ago, and he was obedient to God, and he did it. And so when the trouble came, there was a word that came, hey, there's still corn in Egypt. And so what I'm saying is, you know, you study and preparing 7 years ago in ministry or what you're going through, and the moment that you need it, God will remind you, the Holy Spirit will remind you that he is your God. He is your substance. He's the one that will get you through, and we'll be able to draw on him in those times of difficulty, those times of need, when the stuff hits the fan, Dr. G.
Well, and you're right. And I think one thing that we have to keep in mind is that God is not going to let us know ahead of time, well, look, I've got this coming your way, so you need to get. And, you know, one thing that we have to understand, you hit on it, that people have got to stop playing with the Lord. You know, we've got to, if we're going to serve him, then serve him. You take the bad with the good. And if you're serious about your life and your walk with the Lord, then you're going to do what you have to do with the understanding that God is not going to share his plan with you until after his plan comes into fruition. And we have to go through sometimes in order to get to that point. But one thing I've learned in my years of living for him is that you going to go through, but it's no use sitting there complaining about woe is me, this, that, and the other. So I had to come home from work one day, got in my pajamas for 3 days, couldn't do anything, didn't feel like doing anything, coughing, snotting, and, you know, and I look at that, and then here comes Sheila, she gets sick, and the person around here sick. And can't do a thing. We go to church. I mean, I told her, look, there are Sundays I don't feel like it because I feel good. But yet the Lord say, get your butt up, go. You just don't have to do that. That's why you got other people in the church who can pick up the slack. But you stay focused on what it is that God wants you to do, because people are watching us. They're watching to see how we're going to handle things. They may not be as strong as we are, but if we're doing the things that the Lord teaches us and instructs us, and one thing that we have to keep in mind, one key ingredient is being obedient to what the Lord says.
Amen.
Amen. And again, it's passing that along, showing, demonstrating, let somebody else know, and when you can pass that along, other people can draw on that, and you know, this is what you know, Joseph found out, that he reach out to his brothers, reach out to his father, reach out to the people that were suffering, and let them know that, you know, there's a way for us to survive. And it seems like now in this age that we live in, too many times people are just out for themselves, and no one is looking out for anybody else. And even if I got grain over here, I'm not going to tell anybody else. And it's a different way of living, it seems like now. But, you know, God didn't give us these blessings for us to keep them. He wants us to share it with someone else, because someone else might be going through. And that's why we have to talk about our faith. That's why we have to share our faith. That's why we have to reach out to each other, encourage each other, because everyone needs God, whether they realize it or not.
That's right.
And when we begin to share it, and even in the midst of our going through, even in the midst of difficult times, that's when God wants us to share it, you know. And people will see it, like, you know, going through the hospital emergency rooms, or visiting the sick, or, you know, just calling someone up in the midst of someone passing, or losing a loved one, to reach out and be a resource, or be a supply of faith and hope and a comfort to someone else. I
right.
think the church has gotten away from that. And, you know, there was a dearth in the land, and there was a famine in the land, but they were able to survive because they all reached out. Because when it's a dearth in the land, it's a dearth on God's people, it's a dearth on the Egyptians, it's a dearth on everybody in that land. But because God's people have prepared, good God Almighty, everybody else was blessed. And if
Amen.
God's people are prepared, and if God's people are willing to do what he says, or lift to the challenge and point people to God during difficult times, then that will help turn people that don't know God toward him. And we have to be willing to share. We have to be willing to give and sacrifice and show people, amen, there's a way out of this thing. You know, we're in difficult times now, but we have faith in a God that can do all things. And follow him, and he'll bring you through. And when you do that, what happens is everybody else around you can be blessed. And then if there's enough people doing that, reaching out, telling people about God, helping in difficult times, then families and communities and whole nations can be blessed. And Joseph, by his obedience, by him having to go through the whole nation of Egypt, Sheila G. was blessed.
Mhm. And what was really even a more amazing about that, because, you know, when you were talking about how we don't love one another the way that we should and care for one another the way we should, is that Joseph went above and beyond in his obedience to God. What's so amazing about the story is that when there was a famine in the land and he had the power to distribute the food to whomever he wanted to, brothers came. He could have said, y'all threw me in the pit. You wanted me to die.
Yeah.
You were jealous of me.
Yeah.
So now I don't have to give you nothing. But instead, he showed them love. He showed them compassion. And, you know, that was where that scripture came from. What you meant for evil, God turned it into good, because they were afraid. Because they knew that from a human standpoint, he had every right to lash out at them because of everything that he'd been through. But he recognized, when he's saying God meant for good, is that just like we were saying, that every challenge, everything that we went through, God blessed us afterwards. We got, you know, somehow we got stronger and closer. So, again, he let love overcome resentment. He let love overcome hate. He let his love of God and his obedience say to, you know, God told me. God, I didn't think of this myself, but God gave this to me in a dream to build up this food. And God's not going to give you a command for you to keep it to yourself. That's when you get in trouble. That's where everybody in the Bible gets in trouble, when all of a sudden you let the humanness kick in and you take God yourself.
Yeah.
But And so he said, God gave this to me. He recognized the Lord, and he showed love to his brothers who showed hate to him when they were younger. And he went through all of that. But looking back on it, as he looked back over his life, he was like, you know what? That's a blessing, because now I'm large and in charge. So now that I'm large and in charge, why would I want to turn against you for something that had so many years, that happened so many years ago? Recognizing that this blessing is from the Lord, so I can't take that away from you because it's going to hurt me. And in showing that love, God continued to bless him. So that's what we have to be as well, is we can't show resentment to those that have hurt us, or look at those and say, okay, I'm only going to give you a little bit of love because you might come back and come back at me.
Right.
We have to show that traditional, godly love, trust in God, don't trust in man, and then God can let the blessings flow to us freely.
Amen, amen. It's such a great lesson. It just shows you the infinite wisdom of God, and you know, it's awesome to know that God knows, and we talked about this last time, that God knows our beginning and our end. And he knows it all at the same time. And he knows how to orchestrate it. And this is the same thing he's doing with Joseph and his family. And in this, the 12 tribes of Israel were formed that came out of Jacob. And through those 12 tribes came the bloodline of Jesus, and from the tribe of Judah. And all of that took place for the bloodline to continue, that it wouldn't get, it wouldn't, even when the dearth came in the land and they were in captivity, going into captivity to the Egyptians after this period of time, when they came to Egypt, the bloodline was still there, and Jesus came through that bloodline. And, you know, that's God's plan that he put into place back in Genesis, that all of these things would occur, but there would be a remnant or a group of people that trusted him, that he would use as a conduit, as a vehicle, to bring his plan to redeem mankind back to himself through the birth of Jesus Christ. But all of these people played a role. And that's, I think, one of the things, Dr. G, that we have to continue to reiterate, is that everybody plays a role. Your role might not seem important, and a lot of times people don't think their role is important in life or in church, but everybody plays a role, we have to understand that God can use us and God wants to use us, and we have to learn about God and how we can play our role and stick to our role, not to get too big, not to get too small, but to remain faithful and consistent and playing our role, you know, play our role in this ministry, because God has a plan, and his plan will continue on through us down to each generation. And as we look through these verses in that verse 12 through 15, Joseph was passing these things down to his family, and the first time they came, he sent back out, sent word for them to come. And then in verse 13, it says, the second time Joseph was made known to his brethren, and his kindred was known unto him. And in verse 14, it said, then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and his kindred 70 souls. So there was a score is 20, so you're talking about 60, 75 people in the family were blessed, and they came to Egypt. And just through him and his ministry, that many people in his family were blessed. And so everyone played a role. Everyone shared the word of God. And then in verse 15, Joseph's ministry came to an end. And he carried out and he fulfilled what was plan for him in his life, and everybody's going to have a chance and opportunity to fulfill it. And in verse 15, it says, so Jacob went down into Egypt and died, and our fathers. So we have, all of us have a window, a period of time on this earth, and our window and period of time on this earth should be trying to find out what God's plan for us and developing that plan and staying faithful. Because we want the legacy of God to continue down to our children, to our children's children, and to pass it on. And here we see Joseph being born early, going through these trials and tribulations, his brothers, all of this thing God is working to get the bloodline of Jesus to come through Jacob. He's even working that even when Joseph died, that the Egyptians were in Egypt and they grew, and then eventually that they had to be delivered out of Egypt, and they became a great nation, and it just went on, and you know, all these things go on and on and on, but everybody has to play their role, and the enemy will try to tell you that you don't have a role, you don't mean nothing, you're too small, or your church is too small, or your ministry is too small. But no, it's important to understand that while we're here, we need to serve God. We need to serve God in whatever way, whatever capacity we are. And as leaders in the church, we need to encourage everyone that you have a role, you have a place in the ministry of God. Dr. G.
Well, you know, you hit it on the head, and that's something that I think people need to fully understand. You know, there are no big I's, no little U's in the body of Christ. And we as the people have to stay level-headed, but we have to do the things that it takes to continue to grow in God. No, we're not going to ever know what God's plan fully is, and we may never really know. But you take that one day at a time and do what he wants you to do. And part of our problem today is that, you know, we let life get in the way. I think I had to teach a couple of weeks, and I thought, you know, we let life get in the way. Things creep up, and so we don't get into a mode of praying and studying like we should. So we don't really know what God would have us to be about. And it is important that we find the place where we can learn, where we can study, where the person or the leader is going to lead us in the way that the Lord wants. But again, you know, it's too much of life in the way, and we allow life to get into the midst of it. And as Sheila was talking, you know, we put God on the back burner when we don't need him. When sickness or something happens, then we want to pull them off the back burner to help us out. And we do this thing over and over again. And for some people, they never learn until it's too late. But, you know, every day God blesses us with another day, that ought to be a day that we gain some sort of knowledge of just how good the Lord is. And we should never forget how far the Lord has brought us. Because if it hadn't been for him, none of us would are right now in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
No, life has not been perfect for anybody. But when you look back and you can say, you know, if it had not been for the Lord, and we keep driving that home, and we can't take advantage of it. We can't just, well, I'm here just because I did X, Y, and Z. That's what gets a lot of these millionaires and billionaires in trouble, because they're looking at their money, they're looking at their possessions, they're looking at all of those temporal things that are going to be here for a short period of time, and then when they die, here you got family members fighting over that job, going through the money. That's wrong with our president right now, because he thinks that he can do whatever he wants. Then when he gets in jail, he lies way out, and he's influenced other people to lie along with him. That is not what God wants. He's been so bold to say that he is the chosen one. No, there is but one chosen one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to learn how to stay in our lanes and stay humble, stay filled with humility, and don't become so big-headed. And then when stuff happens, you know, you look at Joseph. I mean, I love the story of Joseph, because he was a young boy when he was having those dreams. Yeah, well, he did brag about it too much, but that was because he didn't understand. But it took all those years through all of what he went through to get to a point that then he could become mature enough to understand, okay, so this is what you wanted. And God, as you said, God has a plan. And the Lord's plan is going to play out whether we want it to or not.
Amen. 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 And you know, just that the last thing you said, Dr. Jim, we're going to go to the phone line. It's going to play out. And it's not over. Till God says it's over. And Sheila G, you know, with our mom and our dad and everybody had loved ones. And that's what a lot of times I ask people to trust God when they're going grieving and they have loved ones that are sick or passed on, that God has the final say so. We have to learn to leave it in his hands. And Joseph had a life that had ups and downs just like all of us. And, you know, the title of our Bible study is "There's Nothing New Under the Sun," and just like Joseph, all of our lives are going to have ups and downs. And you know, if we choose to have faith in God, our life will be well lived for God. But it's not going to be over until God says it's over. So I don't care how young you are in ministry or how old you are in ministry, you just keep ministering. You keep trusting God, because God can use you at whatever age or whatever stage in your life. And you know, I thank God for Bible studies like this. Sometimes you think you are too young. Sometimes you think you are too old. Sometimes you think you might not be in a position to minister. And you're still ministering where you are, whether it's on the phone, whether it's in the grocery store, whether it's at the hospital, whether it's at the nursing home. You're still ministering for God. and God is expecting us to continue to minister and pass it on wherever our wherever we may find ourselves. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's the thing, is sometimes we think that, and it's been passed on through tradition, that we have to minister in a certain way. And that's not true. It's whatever God gives you. Sometimes we're ministering to someone just by saying, hi, how you doing, how you feeling. I've had experiences where I've just been talking to a total stranger, and it's just listening to what they're saying, and they said, you know what, you really blessed my heart with that. And it's happened to me as well. I mean, I've been in church, and I know there was a one of our members that comes to church pretty regularly, and as we were going through some things, just taking some time before service, just sharing with that person, and the things that she was sharing with me actually encouraged my heart. And they probably didn't even realize that they were just talking, but it helped to lift me up and helped me to encourage my soul to keep going on, because sometimes we do get tired. Sometimes it does get rough, and we can share that in whatever way God tells us. It doesn't necessarily have to be constantly beating somebody up with the scripture or with the Bible over their head.
Right.
Like our Aunt Vi would always say, being godly. And a lot of times being godly is talking, showing love, and having a ministry that way. So that person's like, you know what? I want to get some of that. What do I need to do to get some of that?
Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to go through the phone line. And we're just going to ask the question tonight. Are you still in the ministry? you have to ask yourself something. Are you still in the ministry, or is there a time where you thought you were going to give up, but you're still in it? And it's a thing where you're really trusting God to keep you being used by Him. And so if you're still in the ministry, you're still being used by God. And if you're still being used by God, you're still in the ministry. So it goes hand in hand. So I'm just going to ask the question, are you still in ministry? Are you still ministering for the Lord? So we're going to go through the phone line. First caller, last four digits, 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
It's good to have you all back. Thank God. Amen. You all are feeling better. And Minister Kayson, she's still improving. We're giving God the glory.
Yes,
praise God for you all. I just want you to know you've been in my prayers, and you all are inspiration and a strength. And one thing I love about this Bible study, you know, you can be real. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We all go through things in life, you know. And I thank God that when you can share some of your experiences, you encourage others and you build others up. So I thank God for that. And, I'm still in the ministry. There's been times this year that I say, okay, it's time for me to quit. I feel like I'm getting back in my age, getting back in my memory, getting back in my body and my health and everything. And I feel that way sometime, and then look like the Lord, He just give me the inspiration to go on to serve Him a little bit longer and a little bit more. So I constantly pray and ask God to give me the strength to do what He would have me to do. And just let me be a blessing to someone in some way, by word of encouragement, a prayer, whatever He would have me to do. Just keep me humble and meek, seeking Him. And I just want to share for our Tuesday morning prayer line. We have words of inspiration along with the prayer, and we usually have a speaker. And so we've been talking about long suffering, and it has been such a blessing. Long suffering touched everybody's lives in many, many different ways, and it's just been so inspiring. And I thank God for allowing us to study on long-suffering, to talk on long-suffering, because long-suffering is something that touches everyone's life. And the more you get into it, the more you will realize just how good God is and how faithful he is and how he sustains you through the long-suffering, through the pain. And not only we, the Christians, go through the long-suffering, but Jesus, the long-suffering that he went through and still putting up with us. So, you know, it's just a blessing. So I thank God and I praise him for everything that he is doing in the Heart of God life. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much, Pastor Gregory and Evangelist Gregor and New Birth. I just thank God for you all. You're such an inspiration.
Blessing.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. And go to our next caller, last four digit, 1487. 1487, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. The question is, are you still in the ministry? Yes, yep. I consider myself still in the ministry.
Amen.
I always have said, you never know what you're going to say, a word or gesture or anything to change somebody's path, you know. So I believe in doing what I can to help people. I believe in, because that's how I got changed. Somebody helped me, prayed for me, and I'm going to still be in the ministry. And sometimes when I get real, real sick, I just feel a little bad, but I never lose my faith in God, because he is the one that's keeping me, and he's going to keep me here until it's time for him to call me home, just like the rest of us.
So I just try
to do something every day for somebody, whether it's on the phone or give them some food or something or money. I just do what I can. So I consider myself, yes, I'm in the ministry. I'm still in the ministry, and I feel like I'm getting stronger in the ministry also, and that's because of God. Because
Amen.
When you get into him and you love him and you want to live for him, all that other foolishness and stuff that you were doing, that stuff going to fall down by the wayside. You don't want to be bothered with that no more, you know? So I just appreciate him and I love him. And I just thank you for being allowed to be on this line and speak with all of you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller, 3343. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good chance to hear you, because the last time I was on the line, I was having a problem, and I had to get off the line, and I didn't get a chance to talk or say, but I had to lock in my spirit anyway. Yes, I'm still in the ministry, and it's the idea that God tells me, and I've been praying, I keep praying, and it showed me that he's listening to me all the time. And I pray he'd come back and show me just where he was at, and what I had to do is keep my mouth closed and keep my temperature down.
Amen.
And don't go beyond his land. Leave it to him in his hand. And I've been trying to do that and done it very good. And I'm doing very good. Yes, I'm still in the ministry. And wherever I get a chance to go, my pains gets me so bad sometimes I can't hardly walk. But I get up the next day, and in a few minutes I get the pain, and it gets on away from me. I keep my spirit going on. I may not get to the church like I want to, but it ain't left. I ain't gone nowhere. He ain't called me home, so I'm still here. Yes, I'm still in the ministry.
All right.
And I'm not going to give up until he called me home, until I won't even hear me a voice on this phone. You know I'm gone. So yes, I am still in the ministry. I haven't given up not one time.
God bless you.
Please don't hold it against me. I'll get there. Whenever you turn me loose, I'll get there.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for your phone call tonight. Amen. We thank God that everybody's still yet holding on. We got one more caller. And last four digits, 1411. 1411, you're on there.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, I'm definitely still in the ministry. I think if I was posed that question maybe a few years ago or even last year, I probably would have had a different answer, because I know we all have different definitions of what ministry means to ourselves, and then of course what the the Bible states. But, you know, I think you guys kind of touched on it earlier about, you know, putting limits on God's words as far as how we're supposed to minister and how they used to do things, you know, back in the day when we were all coming up. But, you know, God's word, as far as how it's being relayed and the vehicle that's being used, is always and constantly evolving. But the foundation of the word will always remain the same. And I think it just goes back to how you reach people where they are. You know, you can minister to someone the same message that I could, but the person that I'm talking to, I may have to put it in a slightly different vehicle so that they get it. But ultimately, we're bringing people closer to Christ, you know. And just like any process, this process is not perfect, but it is necessary. You know, we're saying that we're Christians. We have to be serious about ministering to people. And it's not just about us at that point. You know, people have ministered to us. Alisa had stated that. And I know I still got people ministering me to this day, you know, because I, you know, still have room to grow and still things that I would like to accomplish in my Christian faith. But I can only do that by being ministered to. But also, if God compels me to give a word or to say something nice or to do a good deed or something, those are all forms of ministry. You don't necessarily have to be standing in front of a pulpit and quoting scripture and, you know, telling people how to live right and what to do to be in the ministry. But, you know, I thank God that he's allowed me to grow and to develop and to be able to minister to people. And sometimes when you're ministering to people, you minister to yourself a little bit. You know,
right.
You go
That's
back
right.
and you're like, man,
That's
I said
right.
that too. I thought I was giving somebody else a word, but I kind of needed that word for myself. So always be cognizant, and I think it goes back to what we said about being humble and allow God to use you, because when God's using you and moving through you and speaking through you, you yourself will gain something out of it as well. Not so much necessary for the ears of the individual or individuals you're ministering to, but you also stand to gain some things. So, you know, we have to take it very seriously, and just like anything, we got to continue to grow. We got to continue to work. We got to continue to develop so that we can continue to minister. We can find effective ways to minister. You know, we see a certain situation, we know a scripture, we know a passage, we know a word, we know a prayer, we know a song, we know all these different things that we can relay God's message to someone. But allow the Spirit to use you. And, you know, I know we talked about it before about ministry. Sometimes we want to beat people over the head with it, or we get frustrated when they don't get it. That's making it about us. Plant the seed, let God do the water, let God do the sunshine, let God do the mulching, and let God be the gardener. All we're doing is just planting the seeds. And you cross paths again, give them another word. See how they're doing. Give them a prayer. Just continue to invest in it, because just like anything, when you're planting seeds, nothing grows overnight. You got to nurture it. You got to stick with it. You know, you look at a seed you planted a week ago, 2 weeks ago, it's still in the ground. You're not seeing anything. But in spite of all of that, there's still development going on. So, you know, be cognizant that when we're ministering to people, that it will take time. It's not an overnight process. I tell you myself, I'm not an overnight process. I'm a 38-year process and still going, but it was a lot of ministries and a lot of prayers and a lot of everything, butt whoopings too, that got me to where I am today. So, you know, I thank God for those people who ministered to me, because I can tell you now, I definitely wouldn't be here on the phone this evening speaking to you guys. But yes, I'm definitely in the ministry. I've learned to be a little bit more open and receptive to the word of God, because at first I really wasn't comfortable with it, but I started to embrace it and say, if I'm serious about this Christian walk, I got to get out of my comfort zone. I got to start embracing the word of God and realizing that we all have more in store for what it is that God has intended for us, but we got to be open. We got to be humble so God can use us. So yes, I'm definitely still in the ministry, and I hope going into 2020, I will continue to be in the ministry. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Sheila G, come to the end of this session. Good lesson, good comments. You have any final comments? You want to close us out in prayer?
Amen. I just say that we just continue on to be in the ministry in which way, at whichever way God gives us to us, that we will spread it out to this world. If nothing else, to spread God's love, because truly there's so much hate going right on right now, but we have the power of God to show, to overshadow that hate with love. And I just ask that we will just continue to do that. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we first of all want to thank you for allowing us to have to see another Bible study, Lord. It's been a challenging month that we've been through, but because we our hand and your hand, you have brought us all through, Lord, and we're not taking that lightly. Father, I pray for each and every one of us that are on this call that you will continue to allow us to minister to others as well as to ourselves, knowing that all power belongs to you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for all your many blessings. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. Hopefully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Well, not next Thursday night, because next Thursday night is Thanksgiving. We'll take a break and see you the night after that, Thursday night after tonight. But have a great holiday, and to God be the glory.
Amen.
That's going to do it for us tonight. Good night.
Good night.